Okay, from the CFLSO, we have Becky Burra, Keith Davidson, Christy Spain, Stephen Deerhaek, Daniel Kalchev, Eberhard Lisse, Nigel Roberts, and Bill Semick. And from Liaisons, we have Maureen Hilliard and Cheryl Langdonore. From Staff Support and Special Advisors, we have Jaap Akkerhuis, Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcott. Apologies have been received from Desiree Milosevic. And Paulus Miranda and Carlos Aguirre. That's all I have.
I'm on.
You are indeed. We can see you.
Well, I just did a roll call, Becky, so I don't know if you want to proceed.
Okay. We should start by confirming the agenda, and that was sent around by Christina a couple of days ago. Any changes to the agenda? Any additions? Hearing none, we will confirm the agenda. We also have the meeting report from the June 6th that's up, and that was also sent around a couple days ago. Any additions, changes, deletions? Okay, I'll take that as confirmed. We're going to move on to the substance.
Becky,
Yes?
Becky, Martin has his hand up, I believe.
Yes, I see. Yes, Martin.
Hi. I just wanted to pick up that I wasn't picked up on the roll call, but I am in on the call, both in Adobe and online.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All righty. So we will move on to the discussion on revocation and so that we can incorporate it into the main document. Bernie, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. We'll bring up the right document first. So we're working from analysis V7. And as far as I remember, only have two bits of text that are to be discussed. And let me make that slightly bigger so I can actually read it. Maybe a little bigger than that. So, I believe our first piece of text is 5322. Which has been hammered out over the last week via email. And this is not the last version. This is the last version before we had to post documents. But there's been some minor adjustments with it. And we'll take that during discussions, I believe. I see we've got two hands up right now.
Yes. Martin, is your hand due up a new intervention? No, Nigel, over to you.
Okay, I quite like what's there, but there was something I thought I'd sent you about the previously discussed exceptions phrase, which I thought was a bit opaque. I thought I'd put something in there about when reasonably not possible or something. I can't remember the phrasing. Do you not remember that?
Yes, it was oblique. I think it would be not appropriate.
As opposed to inappropriate.
Well, I'm kind of relaxed about this one.
Good.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just to get everyone in sync, why don't we read what we've got and then we'll start adjusting it versus the last versions of email. Is that okay for everyone?
Bernie, L's hand is up.
Pardon me?
No.
My name is Ivan, by the way. I can wait for it to be read, because my contribution will probably be resolved by reading it again.
Okay.
Okay, the FOI working group believes that it is inappropriate for the IANA contractor to step in unless substantial misbehavior by the CCTLD manager A poses a risk to the security and stability of the DNS, or B involves the manager's failure after notice and an opportunity to cure to perform the objective requirements, bracket IE, to be on the internet, maintain IP and email connectivity, identify technical contact, and, subject to previously discussed exceptions, identify an in-country administrative contact, close bracket, period. Over to you, ma'am.
Over to you, ma'am.
Okay. Eberhard, would you like to comment?
Yeah, maybe I post my version into the chat. It's slightly change only, basically some editorial or to make it easier to read, and to change the word failure to refusal. Otherwise, basically, it's the same content.
Right. I think it's that the significant change is the refusal.
Everyone, Becky,
yeah.
Chris, we're getting serious echoes.
I'm gonna dial back in again because I'm getting a big.
I don't think it's you. Christina, are you able to tell who it is?
The operator seems to be coming from Nigel. So if you can mute your speakers or your phone.
Nigel.
I've got everything muted.
You've got everything muted? I doubt that, Nigel.
Muted, okay. Then we'll keep looking.
Well, now it went away, now that you unmuted.
It stopped now, exactly.
Yeah.
So, did I understand Eberhard to suggest that we should change the word failure in 5322? Is that right?
Failure in 5322, change it to refusal. So it involves the manager's refusal after notice and opportunity to cure. The one thing, Chris, you have your hand up. You have a comment.
No, I'm sorry. I'll put my hand down. I apologize.
Okay. Any comments on that? I guess I have one concern, and Eberhard, maybe you can address this for us. What if there's no, affirmative statement from the manager that I won't do this, but it just doesn't happen?
That would be too bad for the contractor. That's what happened in Australia, that's what happened in Kenya, and it's not going to happen again. And I think I say this very clearly on the list. If you write an email and the guy doesn't answer, that's not refusal, and that's not failure. That's not substantive misconduct. It's not going to happen again that somebody gets sent an email, oh, don't answer, it's yes, finish and clear. We have discussed consent, yeah? And that there must be an affirmative reaction. Therefore, the opposite of this, there must be an affirmative refusal. Just because he couldn't be reached that week or he was out of the country or whatever, it's not happening again. That's a serious issue for me.
Okay. We have Chris and then Michael.
So I disagree in a couple of ways. First of all, there is a significant difference between not responding to a request to consent and a failure after notice and an opportunity to cure to correct behavior which poses a risk to the security and stability of the DNS or involves the manager. I mean, that I think is the difference. The point Eberhard is talking about, or the examples Ella's giving, are to do with circumstances where consent has been requested, no response has been received, and has been treated as consent. And let me say, has only been treated as consent after subsequent communication has been sent saying, if you do not respond, then we will assume that you consent. I don't think you can apply that in these circumstances. We're talking about a very specific set of circumstances where there is a failure after notice and an opportunity to cure to perform what are objective requirements. And to allow a circumstance where the manager can simply ignore all requests and not respond ever to mean that nothing can happen is simply not acceptable.
You mixed up just now the risk of security of stability with objective requirements. I fully agree that this cannot happen, but what can happen also not ever again is that I can contract that decides unilaterally, oh, he is not responsive enough for our purposes, that considers the yes. It's just not going to happen.
But Eberhard, with all due respect, that's not the context within which this clause is drafted.
Well, it's not going to happen again. I feel very strongly about this. It has happened in the past that communications were decided by...
That's got nothing to do with the context where you have already got substantial misbehavior subject to all of the checks and balances that we have put in place, all of the definitions that we've put in place, where it's posing a risk or involves the manager's failure after notice to perform what are objective requirements. So what you are suggesting is it should be possible for a manager to ignore a notice to perform objective requirements, and therefore nothing should happen. And that doesn't make any sense. It's not. You cannot draw the same line that you do in respect to what happened with .au, or any of the other ones for that matter, in respect to this particular clause. It's a totally different set of circumstances.
Then we need to clearly define what I can contract, what the IANA contractor is going to do. We are not going to have the situation again that the contractor decides communication with the recipients is not to our liking, finish and close. That's the point that I'm strongly and vehemently and whatever you call it objecting to, and something over which I am willing to die in a ditch on.
Nigel, and then Martin.
Okay, my point was going to be on something different than this.
Okay, then let's finish this first.
A contentious thing, but I'm with you.
Yeah, Martin?
Hello? Am I with you?
Hello? Yes, you are.
That's not...
Nigel, Becky was suggesting that if your point's on something different, let's leave it until we finish the point that's currently being discussed, and then we can talk about your point.
I got you, but I hadn't finished speaking, but I've got a point on this.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Since the backwards and forwards. The issue here is notice. What is effective notice? If you simply send some guy an email, and then he ignores it, apparently... It could just be that email or even all emails are going into a bitbucket. Notice has to be, the contractor has to make proper efforts to deliver proper notice. And that means sending registered letters as well and trying to make telephone calls as well. And I'm trying to make this technology neutral, so I'm not saying how you do it, but I'm saying you must be able to demonstrate you made all reasonable efforts to give notice on in some regard, and not just, oh, we sent an email, he hasn't responded, so we're going to redelegate.
Okay, I was sort of with you until we got to the all efforts, because does that mean you have to send fly somebody over to, you know, wherever it is?
I think the word was reasonable in there, Becky, so I hope you're still with me on that.
Well, yeah,
reasonable on Gridiron. Nigel, or not Nigel, Martin, and then I just want to make sure we get all of the comments in on this so that we can talk through it.
Yeah, thanks very much. I firmly agree with Chris. I don't think that it is at all reasonable or continue not to put right the part said, I refuse to put these right. He's just not doing it.
Yep, Martin, you're breaking up. Can you get a little closer?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Is that better? Okay. And I think there are words in this text that really address the risk of the IANA functions manager, contractor, taking a high-handed approach. The fact that somebody didn't do it quickly enough or didn't do it in quite the right shade, because there is after notice, which I think we have to accept as being reasonable notice, and an opportunity, the contractor is given the opportunity to cure the failings. And then the last one, which isn't in this section, but later, where there is the right to appeal. So, in fact, the right to appeal would then allow the manager to turn around and say, well, actually, I didn't respond because there was a temporary blip in the system. I would certainly have great problems with the proposed new wording because somebody can just ignore all letters, and that, I think, is entirely unreasonable. Thank you.
Okay, Eberhard, I see your hand up.
Okay. If we don't go on the refusal, then I cannot accept the word an opportunity because that would imply a single opportunity. Also, I am not going to accept to put the burden on the manager by saying, okay, the other contractor can do whatever he likes and then it's the other one can appeal. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. Whatever happens, whatever we come up with, we will avoid the situation that it ever happens again that the IANA function contractor unilaterally decides the communication they receive from the manager is not to their liking, isn't fast enough, didn't arrive, bad luck, it's accepted as a yes. That will not going to happen, and I'm really serious about this. Yeah?
Okay, I think we're agreed.
Sorry. I don't want to put this on a vote, but we will put it on a vote if we have to.
Then I think we should do that.
Excellent. Not now, not today. We'll first rally the troops so that we know that we make sure that we have enough votes, and then we'll.
But you need an alternative suggestion, Eberhard. Given that your choice of the word refusal isn't going to fly, what do you suggest?
I must think about it some more.
What about something that says, after having received notice and a reasonable opportunity to cure?
That makes no difference. I also think we must...
Hang on. Why does that make no difference?
You interrupted me. I wasn't finished. I also think that Fabricio's suggestion that notice and opportunity to cure should apply to both A and B is very valid. We should also not forget that. Whether somebody has received notice... You basically mean that we must, how can we prove that? In other words, the issue that Nigel raised, the reasonable notice, we must then define how can we make sure that that reasonable process has been served on the manager. Once we make clear that the recipient has received notice, and not just by unilateral decision, no problem. Then I have no problem. But that is the main problem. How do we make sure? I'm not against that if somebody doesn't do what he's supposed to do, that this is considered substantial misbehavior. I am against that I can function, the IANA function coordinator can unilaterally decide what communication is acceptable to the contractor in this regard. And I think Chris and I, we are on the same wavelength. We just need to come up with the right words for it.
Right. I think that the question is, I guess that there are two questions. I mean, the language that I proposed is after having received notice and a reasonable opportunity to cure. So that one says you have to get in touch with the manager. Now, there's a problem if the manager is absolutely not contactable. Maybe that doesn't even work. Nigel, you have your hand up, and then Chris.
You're on mute.
Nigel?
Seems when I turn myself off mute, I'd get disconnected, which I suppose is a feature rather than a bug. This backwards and forwards is rather lost me in the point I was going to make earlier. I've posted something in the chat about reasonable notice will actually differ depending on where you're sending the notice to. I mean, if you're sending the notice to a lawyer's firm who is the admin contact for .zz, and that firm's in London or New York, that there's one standard, and if you're sending it to a mildly dysfunctional third world country that doesn't have a postal system, and there's another standard. We've got to express it in a way that's technology neutral. That's really what I was wanting to say, and while at the same time capturing the fact that, you know, it's got to be proper notice. Proper notice has to have been served, or served properly, in a legal sense. But, I mean, I don't want to get too legal about it.
Yeah, let's not get too legal about it. Chris?
So, thanks, Becky. Two things. First of all, Nigel's right, but he's answered his own question. Reasonable notice is technologically neutral because it is defined in terms of the specifics of a particular service of notice, and so therefore should be no issue for us. I think that there's a danger here of losing sight of what the main purpose of this clause is. The result of the CCTLD manager posing a risk or involves their failure after reasonable notice, etc., to perform an objective requirement, is that the IANA contractor can step in. The stepping in then has a whole series of checks and balances in it as well. So it's not the end of the game here, it's merely the start of the permission to step in. And I think it's important that we remember that, because what we seem to be worrying about is a whole heap of consequences that may flow, whereas in fact the only consequence that flows from this call, from this particular clause, is that the IANA contractor can step in, and then all of the checks and balances on the stepping in fall into place. Thanks.
Okay. Nigel and Chris, you both still have your hands up. I think that there's a situation of sort of radical agreement in the sense that nobody thinks that the IANA manager, that the IANA contractor should be able to just, you know, send out an email and disconnect without really trying to communicate with the manager. And I think, so I'm sensing that we all agree that that's the point. How about we add just a subsection here that captures those points, which basically says, the IANA contractor must make, you know, must undertake reasonable and meaningful efforts to actually to provide actual notice to the manager.
I don't have a problem with contractor to step in when substantial misbehavior poses a risk to the security or the stability. No notice required. If it's so serious, I don't have a problem that they can step in and fix it. No problem. Yeah. But what we really need to avoid is the situation that the IANA contractor can decide what is reasonable efforts to contact and the decision and make a decision. We take the behavior or non whatever in answering, not answering, or whatever. We take the behavior of the and I avoid the word act or omission. The behavior of the manager to say he agrees. That I want to avoid. And if we can achieve that, that is fine with me. I don't have a problem if you come to me and you tell me, look, you are having a contact out of country. You must fix this. Yeah, and if I then don't fix it, but if somebody writes an email and then the guy, for some other reason, the return email gets lost in a bit bucket, as it happens quite often, then they say he wasn't responsive finishing far. And I've seen correspondence recently, or in the .ml delegation, where the IANA contractor was pushing the former contract in a way that I don't think is appropriate.
Okay, can we...
is why I am a little bit turned up on it this time.
Okay, Bernie?
Thank you, ma'am. Eberhard, just a thought here, given we're talking around formal notice and we've all signed, looked at, reviewed, and written enough contracts around this table, I think, to remember how that works in most parts of the world. Would it be okay if the manager would identify a reasonable method that it picks for formal notice? And I do mean reasonable here in the context of what Nigel was about. So it's not just, I mean, if he wants formal notice by cell phone, that's one thing. If he wants formal notice by registered mail to a specific address, that's fine. But I'm just wondering if the manager picking what the mechanism is and both parties agreeing to something reasonable would go to some length at avoiding the problem you're talking about.
I am quite willing to put into my exchange of letters a mechanism, and maybe that is one thing that we can address, is that whoever has an exchange of letter or an accountability framework should address the issue of notice. My point, that's the point of implementation. I don't have a problem with it. As long as the principle is accepted that it's not a unilateral decision of one party to this, to decide what is acceptable response before we make this decision. I get a strong issue at the moment.
So,
ma'am, if I may reply.
Yes.
We're actually dealing with two things here. I think there's. That's my understanding. From listening to the conversation from Elle, there's, you know, the fact that maybe the mechanism for delivering notice is wrong, and then there is the interpretation of not having responded to notice. And I think we're trying to mix those up a bit. I think I agree with Elle. I don't have a problem that this doesn't necessarily have to be unilateral. The mechanism, I think, is a mechanical thing, and it should be jointly worked out. And if it's jointly worked out and there is a formal mechanism identified, what technology neutral, whatever it is, we're not saying it has to be one thing because these are extraordinary circumstances, so whatever the formal mechanism is, it is. then once that's identified, there are no games that can be played with it because formal mechanisms will have to be respected to give notice. As to interpretation of how long something is versus everything else, I really think that if we have the mechanism covered properly such that a manager, the contractor has an obligation to use the mechanism, has used the mechanism, and the contractor, the manager knows that he's gotten the notice, then all the other provisions that Chris was talking about relative to revocation and the controls, I think, sort of cover what we're talking about, or at least I hope so. Over to you, Matt.
Okay, I see Bill has his hand up. Bill, you're muted, I think.
All right.
Bill? Oh, there you go.
Okay. I am, you know, recognizing Eberhard's comment about .mw. I am kind of concerned about some issues that the manager itself may not be able to deal with in advance of problems happening. For example, military changes in government, attacks by other entities. If you think of the .aq situation where the U.S., I believe, incarcerated the manager. And then the issue of communication itself. My recollection, I had a brief conversation through translator with the manager of .mw, and, you know, he had language problems and didn't understand the notification, and he had communications problems due to the turmoil in this country. So there are some issues here that perhaps we can try and deal with in advance, but perhaps we need to include some kind of flexibility in the language that requires extra efforts in certain unusual circumstances. Thanks.
Okay. Eberhard? And, no, I don't know which order. We had Bernie and Eberhard.
I think that's exactly the point. I don't want the IANA contractor to make a unilateral decision. What is notice? In how we solve this is an implementation issue, but that's the point. And otherwise, I have no problems. If somebody doesn't do what he's supposed to do, the contractor can step in. But the contractor cannot step in by sending an email saying, I didn't get a reply, finish and cut. That's the point that I'm making.
Okay, and I think that we're all in agreement, unless I'm missing something, that we are not talking about the IANA contractor unilaterally, you know, selecting a method that isn't going to work and using this as just a way to, a way to just move forward, and that we mean meaningful notice and opportunity and, you know, a designated mechanism for communication. So can I propose that we try to address this by a sub-paragraph that captures that? I know it would be great to get this done, but perhaps, Bernie, how much more substantive text do we need to go through on this?
I think we've got it, and... Elle has been very responsive on email, so I think we can hack something together over the next week that will cover this. We have to keep in mind what we've discussed earlier as a group, in that we don't necessarily want to do implementation details. So in part of what we're talking here, we've got to walk the line of suggesting the areas we want to be sure that implementation details cover, but we should not go into telling the contractor the very fine details of how this should be implemented.
Right. I think we can, okay, I think it's a good idea to try and
nail down just a subparagraph that doesn't go into the implementation weeds, but captures the concern that Eberhard is expressing and that I think we all agree that we are really talking about, you know, real notice and an opportunity to cure, not just a sham. Okay. Do I have any other hands up? Nigel, your hand is up.
Mute is off.
It takes a long time for mute to go off, and I keep getting dumped off the call, and I've redialed with the US number right now. I don't know what you were talking about in the last 30 seconds. I just want an opportunity to remind everybody of the language that I've stuck on the chat, which I think could usefully go in the last part of this sentence, the bit that starts subject to, because I don't know what previously discussed exceptions are, but what I've put in seems reasonable.
Can you post it into the chat again, Nigel, so that...
Well, I've done it twice.
Have you? Oh, okay. How does it start? Does it start and notify?
Yes. There you go. Okay. I've posted it again.
Oh, you've done it again. Congratulations.
I don't understand where that goes, Nigel.
Okay. It replaces the words that start subject to. So it's identify a technical contact and notify IANA of the identity and contact details of an administrative contract, blah, blah, blah.
Okay,
from
that's
the final
fine.
Comma to the final
yeah,
period.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's just, I was shorthanding the where it would be obviously impossible to do. That's fine. Okay,
it
what we were talking
more,
about in the...
More bits, it makes it more Byzantine.
Yeah, it does make it more Byzantine. But, Nigel, I think what we have concluded is that we're going to write a subsection that says where notice and an opportunity to cure is involved, we mean, you know, real notice, not, and just have a paragraph that captures that concern, doesn't sort of go into the weeds about implementation. But,
I'm relatively relaxed about this whole paragraph, except for this previous. I just think previously discussed exceptions is unhelpful because I'm not reading the previously discussed exceptions. I think we ought to spell it out. That's all. That's the only comment I've got about the whole paragraph.
Okay, duly noted. All right. I think we're going to now move on.
Yes, ma'am. And down we go. 53.413. The FOI working group notes, however, that ANA contractor will rarely be in a good position to evaluate the extent to which a designated manager is carrying out the necessary responsibilities of a CTLD operator in a manner that is equitable, just, honest, or except insofar as it compromises the stability and security of the DNS, a competent manner. Accordingly, the FOI Working Group interprets RFC 1591 to mean that revocation would not be an appropriate exercise of its right to step in unless the designated manager has substantially misbehaved in a manner that poses a risk to the stability or security of the DNS and or the designated manager presence on the internet or maintenance. The FOI working group believes that it is not appropriate for the IANA contractor to step in on issues where the actions of the delegated manager does not pose a threat to the stability or security of the DNS, and that such issues should be resolved locally. Over to you, ma'am.
Okay. Nigel, you have your hand up. Maybe he's been disconnected again.
I believe the main point from this was... Oh, that echo is back. Was the last sentence, and I think such issues should be resolved locally, period, was what we went to.
Right. Okay, it looks like Everhart is agreeing. We have no other comments. Bill?
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a little dubious about should be resolved locally, and would prefer something in the... I'm not sure how to describe this, but... This is a very open kind of proposal for resolution, and I'm going to propose a somewhat modified version of the openness of this proposal for the resolution. I would be more comfortable with something like such issues would better be, or something on the way of a recommendation rather than a command.
Such issues would be better resolved locally?
Something like that, yes.
I'm fine with that.
Yep. Nigel?
So am I.
Okay, I see a lot of checks. Any other comments? Okay. I take it that we're in agreement on that. Moving on.
Violently.
Barney, over to you. Anything else here?
One minor thing. 5363, the duty to act fairly. That was proposed by Nigel on email with you and I, Becky, and I don't think this is replacing the natural statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this seems to be 5363. Over to you, ma'am.
Okay. Any comments on that? That is, we had a brief discussion about the natural justice issue. This seems to capture what we were talking about. Any comments? Bill and Nigel both still have their hands up, but I don't know if it's still again. Nigel?
Nigel, you're probably on mute, so star 7 to unmute.
But, you see, we cannot take this as violent agreement just yet.
Well, I don't know. We got a lot of check marks here, Bill, Chris.
No, I mean, Nigel being mute.
Yeah. Well, I guess subject to Nigel's reservation, the same issue comes up. But since Nigel actually proposed this language, I'm going to assume his support for it unless he speaks up. And the same language is repeated in section 5.4.3.
Yep, works for me.
Okay. All righty.
And it seems to work for Nigel, given that he checkmarked it.
Okay, now he's checkmarked it. Okay, great. Excellent. So, we're done with the revocation document subject to, or this piece of it subject to, the subsection that will be the subject of a little online drafting for 5.3.2.2.
Bernie, anything else in this document? I'm not seeing anything else in the document.
No, ma'am. We're done.
Okay. We are in the any other business section of the call, and we do have another call scheduled on July 4th at 5 o'clock UTC, and that is our last call before Durban. Anybody else have anything? Anybody on the line have anything else to add?
Martin.
Martin.
Yeah, thanks. It seems to me that we've got two bits on this document outstanding, but I'm not sure I know when we discuss them. The first is the squared text for what is currently IANA contractor, and at some stage that needs to be addressed, but whether that is then addressed in the light of the completed work of this working group, I don't know. And then in 5.1.1, there is another square bracket, a square bracket that is open, where it is the FOIWG interprets delegation to mean. And again, simple question, when do we tackle this square bracket? Thanks.
Okay, so on the IANA contractor, we agreed a while ago that we were going to need to sort of do an entire scrub through the whole document and other pieces of it to come up with the proper reference that all of us are comfortable with, but that sort of right now this is a placeholder for whatever that term that we all decide is the right way to reference it. And I believe that we interpret delegation to mean is from one of the previously agreed on documents, right, Bernie? Is that in some document we agreed on what delegation means?
I believe, in fact, that was brought back into question to make sure we clarify that properly, and we just left it open as a placeholder for when we would have it outside this document, because this is about revocation, and we would finish nailing that at a later date in possibly another document.
Okay, I agree with that. So, I mean, what we're trying to do is nail down the revocation bits of this and not resolve other things that need to be interpreted based on other sections. Eberhard?
Wanted to propose that we deal with the IANA contractor in bracket issue by sort of putting a footnote in that in light of the current contract between the U.S. government or IANA, the contractor is referred in there as such, and then continue to use that terminology.
Okay. I mean, I think that makes sense. But I think, you know, basically for purposes of this document, you know, that's one approach, and we can look at it. I'm not sure we have to absolutely resolve that.
Just for purposes of publishing the document. Chris is writing that we don't have to resolve it. How we call the IANA function contractor, it doesn't really matter, as long as we have something. And I think what the U.S. government, as the final arbiter of the allocation of that function, calls it is the one that we may be able to wind up with in the end, if we make a proper footnote and explaining our reasoning why we call it this.
I hear you. Okay. Other comments? All right. Keith, I'm happy to step in while your internet is misbehaving. I propose that we close this meeting with the subgroup tasked to write the additional subparagraph. And I appreciate, thank you everyone for participating. Speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Becky.
Thanks
everyone.
Goodbye.